I want to pray just before we begin. I know we prayed a lot tonight, but I just feel like praying again. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I give thanks for your word. You said you have put your word even above your own name. You exalt your word. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, that we will preach your word and we will receive your word. Father God, I thank you, Lord, no hindrances, no obstacles, no obstructions. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that your word will have free liberty tonight and that we will have free liberty both to speak it and to receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the sake of editing, I'll say it one more time. Are you ready for the word? Yes. We're talking tonight about no thing can stop you in Jesus. Now, I probably could have chosen a niftier title. But that's just what I felt like talking about. No thing. I know we often say nothing. You remove the hyphen and it's nothing. And it's easy to say nothing, but no thing. Nothing includes no thing can stop you in Jesus. I want to read tonight from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The Lord has led me to an interesting passage of Scripture. A single verse caught my attention, and so I began to study this and took this passage out of it. And it says, the hand of the diligent, the word diligent in the Greek means the active or the incisive, will rule. The hand of the diligent will rule. But the lazy or the deceitful man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So how many know anxiety can cause your heart to feel depression, but a good word, a word from the Lord makes it glad. Verse 26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, or he does not obtain it honorably. If you go ahead and study that out in the Hebrew, I said Greek earlier, this is the Hebrew. But diligence is man's precious possession. Diligence is man's precious possession. And verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its path there is no death. Since you have the notes from tonight's teaching, read verse 28 with me out loud as we read it again. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, how many know that we are under a new covenant? And this is the new covenant of grace, praise the Lord. And in this new covenant, we are to be less conscious of our hard work, although there's some things we need to do, be doers of the word, but we're to be less conscious of our hard work and more conscious of the performance of Jesus on the cross. In this covenant, we try to be, and this is the goal for us, is to be more conscious of the finished work of Jesus, what he has done, and how what he has done empowers us to access it all. How many know it's all available? Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus' blood bought, his body paid for, it all belongs to us, praise the Lord. And that's the thing we're after, right? I mean, we're not trying to be greedy, but Jesus said we can have it. He said it's ours, so I guess we are being greedy. I guess we are being a bit stingy. We just want everything he promised us, amen? We want everything that he said belongs to us. Therefore, the greatest act of your faith will be to work hard at one thing, being a doer of the word. Just be a doer of the word. Now, we trust him with our works, amen? It's all that he's provided, but we do have to make some effort at being a doer of the word. I want to read to you James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 from the Message Bible. I like the Message Bible. I don't mean to make fun of the Message Bible. It just gets a little humorous to me sometimes, the way it reads. We read this a lot in Bible college, and I find myself laughing periodically as I read it. It says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are nothing but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. So there are several things, and we talked the other day, I think it was last week, about the process of things. We need to first know the Word, be a hearer of the Word, right? We need to hear the Word. Don't ever criticize someone because they're not as much of a doer of the Word as you may be, but they're a really intent listener, a hearer. We need to be hearers of the Word, amen? Now, there is more to it, but we start with being a hearer of the Word. And then we need to properly interpret the Word, and if we can't properly interpret the Word, get with someone that can help you with that. That's okay. Listen to Bible teachers. Come to Sunday school. Come to Wednesday and Sunday church. We need to, next of all, put faith in the Word. How many know that it's important to believe what the Word says? That's what the Bible said in the Gospel said, to believe in the Word. Believe in His Word. And then we are to not walk away and being a forgetful hearer of what we've gleaned or gained from the Word. Don't forget the Word you've learned. You can commit the Word to memory. Don't go around saying, I just have a bad memory. My memory, you know what they say, the older you get, the first thing that goes is your memory. Well, it's, you know, probably not the first thing that goes, but it doesn't have to be anything that goes. You don't have to end life with anything lost. Amen? I love Proverbs 10:7 that says, the memory of the just is blessed. But the reality is, don't forget what you've gleaned from the Word. And then finally, be a doer of the Word. And so there may be some other things, but all of those things are important. Be a doer of the Word. Looking again at a couple of verses we read from Proverbs 12, I want to focus on verse 25 that says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety causes depression. Anxiety causes discouragement. Anxiety causes a person to hang their head down low. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Now, we know the word heart is most always, if not always, translated in throughout from cover to cover of your Bible, dealing with the mind or the core of your being or your thinking process, your thoughts and your intellect. And so we could say it this way, anxiety in your mind or anxiety in your thoughts causes depression. But a good word, everybody say a good word. A good word makes it glad. Makes what glad? Well, if it's our thoughts where anxiety causes depression, then in our thoughts, a good word makes our mind glad, makes our thoughts glad. Amen. Well, this word, in the Hebrew for word is dabar. It comes from a primitive root word, and it basically means, figuratively, of words. It's used in that manner, meaning to speak. And rarely ever used in a destructive sense. Therefore, I believe the thing we can gain from this is that we should watch our words at all times. How many know it's important to watch our words at all times? And I'm not talking about so much how we speak to one another. I'm talking about the things we say in our own mind or in our own out of our own mouth into our own ears. Things like whether you speak health, or whether you speak sickness, whether you speak life or whether you speak death, whether you speak blessing or speak cursing, we need to watch our words. Listen to this. Anxiety will keep you from obtaining what Christ has already done for you. How many know that every promise in the book belongs to you? Every promise, the strong song said, every chapter, every verse, every line, it belongs to you and I. But the thing that keeps us from obtaining everything that Jesus said is ours is some other things like anxiety, living in anxiety. I gave you a piece of information in your notes from the USA Today. They report a new study shows that depression, or the depressed people, are at a greater risk of strokes. You think being depressed, people think when you're depressed, you're just really low-keyed. Well, you are in a physical sense, in a visual sense. People see you and you're just really low-keyed and you look really down, your head's hanging down. But do you know inside your mind, you're not so low-keyed? Thoughts are going, all right? And the enemy's messing with you. And if you think about all the things that have ever been done to you, all the reasons why you are down. And so because of an active mind in that sense, in the depressed and discouraged sense, then the truth is that your brain waves can send out signals to your body and you can become so tense and so messed up that you end up having a stroke. Well, that's not the will and plan of God. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified. I just love the Amplified. This is my favorite translation with this verse of Scripture. It says, casting the whole of your care. Not just a little bit of your care, but your whole care. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. And he says here, once and for all. Have you mastered how to once and for all throw them over on the Lord? I mean, that's something we got to keep working at. Amen. I mean, that's like daily. I got to say, okay, Lord, I cast that over on you. It says to cast it on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. This requires a daily decision. And life really is about choices, isn't it? How many of you wake up in the morning and you got to choose to pray? I mean, it's not always automatic. Sometimes you just don't feel like saying a word. Matter of fact, you may not feel like speaking to your spouse first thing in the morning. And you got to choose to pray. You got to choose to worship God. You got to choose to tell the Lord that you love Him. And of course, He's always bugging you and telling you how much He loves Him. And that's a good kind of bugging. Amen. Proverbs 12:28 said, in the way of righteousness is life. And in its path there is no death. God does not want us to worry about whatever's happening in the world. You know, one of the things about the news, and I think if you watch the news and you're at your ready, prayerfully ready to when you hear of bad situations. I mean, it's no different when you're driving down the road and you see car wrecks. Don't go into a panic, just start praying. And if you can't, if you are panicking, you can't think what to say, then pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. And we're going to deal with that Sunday. I have found something that is going to be a real blessing to all of us, and I'm still feasting on it. But don't get worried about what's going on in the world. How many know there's been several incidents, like when the disaster hit Japan not too long ago, the big tidal wave and the earthquake and all those things. And we've seen several other things around the world. Don't become affected by that. We don't need to be affected by the things that are causing the world to be afraid. And the reason why we don't have to be affected by them is because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, you talk about His pride and joy. We are His righteousness. And I put the Scripture there for you to see it if you choose to. Psalm 84:11, which I announced on Sunday would be one of the verses in this lesson tonight. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many know that song? The Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. O Lord our God, how blessed is Your name, who trust in Thee. Oh, that's old. It's real old. I mean, old enough for me to know it. Trust in Thee. The Lord God is a sun and shield. We'll have to do it sometime. Great song, right from that verse of Scripture. Well, as believers, we are called to walk uprightly, and the reason we are called to walk uprightly because we walk uprightly as the righteousness of God, as His righteousness. And this verse says, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many is glad that Scripture didn't say, no bad thing will He withhold? But no good thing will He withhold. God does not want any good thing withheld from us. And so that's why it's important to be in faith and to believe Him. So you and I are empowered to walk righteously because He has made us His righteousness through Christ. We are empowered to walk above the circumstances that we face. Not let the circumstances walk on us. You ever felt like you were walked on by life? Okay, we've been there, huh? Been walked on by life. No, God has empowered us to walk over the circumstances. You know what? The enemy is under our feet. Jesus put him there. Our job to keep him there, to keep his lies subdued. And so we are empowered to walk over the circumstances of life. We are empowered to walk positioned in Christ, and so that no thing that the enemy tries to do through his lying is able to penetrate your mind. Isn't that awesome? The enemy can mess with you. He will lie, because the Bible says in John 8:44, it says that he is the father of all liars, that he has no truth in him. And so the reality is that he may lie and he may whisper a lie, but you are empowered because of your position in Jesus Christ, seated in Christ in heavenly places, that nothing the enemy tries is able to penetrate, able to get through. Yeah, I heard it, but I know what the word says, and I'm not caving into it. Amen? That's our positioning. So you're empowered to walk victoriously in this earth. Now, here's some good news, and it's not a crutch, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. If you blow it, all right, I want you to hear this. If you blow it, God's grace says that you are empowered to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get up and go again. Now, I'm standing in faith, but a lie came, and I actually entertained it for a while. And it worked, it wormed its way in, and it grabbed hold of me, and I didn't use the word on it, and I stumbled. What do? We are empowered by the grace of God to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, amen, and get up and go again, praise the Lord. So if you get off track, I say that the simplest solution to your getting off track is to get right back on track, praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, we're reading from the New King James, and this will be divided up a bit as we look at some other translations. But it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many know when you got your salvation, it was the free gift of God? I want to make a point here. We were saved by grace, or by grace we were saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's the free gift of God. Now think about it, that God gave us a free gift of salvation. By grace, that makes it free. By grace, we exercised our faith, but it's still all His grace. In turn, He freely gives us all things. Are you seeing that? That's still His grace. How shall he not with him, with Jesus, also with his sacrifice, also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Now we're talking about all accusation against your Christianity originates from Satan. Every accusation that the enemy brings against you, it will be to attack your Christianity, to attack your righteousness, to attack your walk with God. The Bible said it is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Once again, Paul refers to where the enemy brings accusation, where the accusation originated with Satan. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now here's a whole list of stuff. Shall tribulation? Nope. Everybody say no. Shall distress? Shall persecution? They're talking about me. Shall famine? How about nakedness? How about peril? How about the sword? Nothing. Look at the same verse in the New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? That verse right there, I wish I'd have known a New Living Translation back in the day. That verse right there would sure put to silence some things that I've heard in the past. The New Century Version says, can anything separate us from the love that Christ has for us? Can troubles or problems or sufferings or hunger or nakedness or danger or violent death? The Message Bible says, and somebody pointed out to me Sunday, that's the MSG Bible. And we were headed to eat Chinese food that Sunday. From the MSG version. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? I mean, what do you got, devil? What do you got, world? Nothing's going to drive a wedge between us and the love that Christ has for us. There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not anger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. Yet some of the worst sins listed in Scripture have separated people from how they see God, but it never separated God from how He sees us. Well, if you get that revelation, then you can understand no matter what, you don't have to stop loving God, and God will not stop loving you. It continues in the New King James in verse 36 and says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, this is a quote that came out of Psalm 44, verse 22. I started to incorporate that, but I had to read that whole chapter pretty near to even give you an explanation. What he was saying here, it was the perspective of the people who thought that God had abandoned them because of some perverted way they were not even sure they had done. They were trying to make up stuff to God and tell God, okay, we didn't do this, but could it have been that? I mean, they really sounded scatterbrained when you read the chapter. It is the devil's job to deceive God's people, and if he can, and when people are deceived, now I want you to, if you ever tried to talk to someone that was deceived, you ever tried to convince them otherwise? Listen to this. This was in our Bible college lesson Monday night. When people are deceived, they don't know they're deceived. Why? Because they're deceived. But God had not abandoned these people, the children of Israel, in Psalm 44. But they couldn't figure out what was going on. Where are you, God? Read different translations on. I mean, they was telling God, have you taken a vacation? Have you taken a nap? Where are you, God? And so they thought they were abandoned because they didn't have instant answers. What happens if you have to wait with faith, exercising faith and patience for the manifestation to come? Where are you, God? He hadn't left. He hadn't closed up shop. The New King James continues in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. With every life encounter we remain conquerors through Christ. Those are my notes I've added in there. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, speaking of future things, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if I were to ask tonight, how many of you ever in your Christian walk have ever felt abandoned, that God had abandoned you? You probably, many of you may say, never. But, you know, unfortunately, there's many young believers that have experienced the lie of the enemy telling them that God no longer cares about them. And you know, there are young believers who were not just taken under someone's wing and taught, begun to teach the word to them immediately, who heard that lie and are out there somewhere waiting to hear the truth. But here's the difference, though. As mature believers in the word, this maturing should cause us to stop being taken in by the lies of the enemy. I mean, we ought to learn, amen? How many times does the devil have to mess with us with the same lie? Do you know his? I used to preach it this way many years ago, that when Jesus defeated him, he took his bag of trips and broke his toys. He broke the devil's toys. You know the sad part about that is he brings his broken toys and deceives us with them. That's the sad part about it. So what I want to say to you tonight is believe God's word above all that you see. Now listen to this. Believe God's word even more than what you see. Well, you say, Pastor, I'm seeing some really rough stuff. believe God's word even above what you see. Cause your believing, cause what you see to come in line with your believing. Sunday I mentioned a passage of scripture. I want to go back to it for a minute. Just a small portion of it. When God said to Abram in Genesis 15 verse 6, 5 and 6, he told Abram, he said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. God gave him a physically impossible task. You know, God even says to us, look out there. What are you able to believe me for? And we think the sky is the limit, and it really is. But what are you able to believe him for? But the Bible said, and Abram believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So again, let me say it this way. Believe the word of God above all you see in the natural. Do you know how many times I could imagine we could swap stories here tonight, the times that people told us that it wouldn't work. You can't do that. It'll never work. I remember one time, this is many years ago, in a different place, different time, someone came to my wife and said to her, but what if it doesn't work? She wasn't exactly prepared for that question, but instantly the Holy Spirit rose up out of her and said, but what if it does? And when we get so negative sometimes because we've seen some bad experiences and there's a repeat and we somehow think we're going to have the same result. Remember what Albert Einstein said, and it's not in your notes, but we talked about it one time. He said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result each time. Yeah, that's what I meant. Thank you all. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result every time. And so, and I actually had that encounter this week with someone that was doing the same thing over and over, but that somehow was expecting the results to be different. Well, it just doesn't work that way. Again, I want to jump back to Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life. In the way of righteousness is life. In the way of righteousness is life. We have become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. In the way of righteousness is life. And he said, and in its pathway, the pathway of righteousness, there is no death. Now that doesn't mean physical death, because it's apparent from a whole history of Bible folks that we will one day, if the Lord tarries, leave this earth by way of death. But the reality is, death can be the deterioration of your quality of life. How many know that Adam and Eve, I will just say it again, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, began to die. They were immortal prior to that. They began to die, but they didn't go to a grave. They lived a long time. But they begin to die. They was no longer in the garden. Life became hard for them. All the things that came under the curse came on them. And so, in the pathway of righteousness, there is no death. Things do not deteriorate because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know what? It's not something we made happen. It happened to us because of the grace of God. When Joseph went before Pharaoh, if you'll read the story from Genesis 47, you will find out that Joseph went before Pharaoh and said, my family, my father and his, and my brothers and all that they possess have come here from Canaan. And Pharaoh and Joseph had a private conversation. And after that conversation, here's what Pharaoh said to Joseph. Pharaoh said, have your father and your brothers dwell in the best land that I have. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And we read from Genesis 27, verse 11 and 13, 12 and 13. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families. Now you need to see that, because that's very significant in this story. He gave his father, his brothers, and all of his father's household bread according to the number in their families. Now there was no bread at all in the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. So them folks was going through a tough time. Yet by Pharaoh's order, and I believe because of Joseph's favor with God, he was able to feed his father, his brother, their families, and all the families that were numbered with him. And so what we learn from this is that even when you are told there is a freeze on wage increases, you've ever been told that in your job throughout the years of labor, there's no more raises possible, there's a freeze. God can move on that system and cause you to get a raise, the one that you need so badly. Only God can do that. That's the favor of God. When there's a famine in the land, or or during an economic downturn as we've experienced in our country, God can cause things to work for your good when it doesn't look like it's working for anybody else's good. Even when others are not being advanced, God can work things so that you can be advanced. Why? Because you're his righteousness. You have his favor. Amen. And prosperity can continue to come to you because you are blessed, highly favored of the Lord. And if you know that, if you understand, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You know, you ask some folks, how you doing today? And they'll say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. It's like folks are catching on to that. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. People that really know that understand that it doesn't make any difference what's going on with the economy. God's going to take care of me. In Genesis 47, verse 27, it says, so Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Yet it was just in verse 13 we read that they didn't have any bread. They didn't have any way, but yet all of Joseph's family was taken care of. So in the face of famine, God caused them to grow, and the Bible said, and to multiply exceedingly. God can cause you and I to multiply exceedingly, even in the face of famine. God doesn't put up with barely get by, but he shows off on your behalf. You ever had God do something just out of the clear blue for you? Isn't God awesome? And sometimes you weren't even believing for it. God just wanted to show you that he loves you. You know, those are the most precious times. The Bible said that God would cause all these blessings to come on you and overtake you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and Matthew 6 verse 33. Even if our nation, and I say this even though I know that there's been some recession, even if our nation enters a recession, we don't need to suffer. We don't have to suffer. We don't believe in suffering. Our faith is not in suffering. Amen. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is our righteousness, we will prosper. Keep looking at Jesus. That's what makes prospering conditional. Take your eyes off Jesus. How many know Peter was very blessed? Peter was very blessed. He got out of the boat. You know, it took a lot of faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water. And he walked all the way on the water to Jesus. But we were talking about in college Monday night how that many people discredit Peter after that. Jesus had to help him out of the water. But do you understand? Peter walked back to the boat on the water with Jesus. So he walked out going and walked back coming. And so God wants you to be hooked up with his son Jesus. When storms or disastrous weather conditions are circling others, God says, in the pathway of righteousness is life. This would be a good scripture to hang on to. And in its pathway, there is no death. I want to share a quick story with you in closing. Many of you remember watching on the news in 2004 when the Asian tsunami hit the coastal town in South India. I remember it was just horrible even to watch on the news. And you know, they've made documentaries about it since then. But here's the untold story. There was a pastor who lived there that was praying that morning and felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to plead the blood of Jesus over his entire town. You want to know what happened? When the tsunami struck, his town was untouched, while five other towns, which were further inland, were wiped out by the flooding as the tsunami caused devastation. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit to plead the blood of Jesus. Don't ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God protects us even when the world is experiencing evil. God feeds us even when the world is experiencing famine. And it's because, again, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. His word declares that in the way of righteousness is life. And he didn't even have to go on past that. We could have figured out the other part. But he went on to say, and in its pathway there is no death, no lack, no suffering, just life, blessing, and increase. And when you are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing and there is no thing that can stop you from knowing and experiencing how much your Heavenly Father loves you. How many know you're loved of the Lord tonight? God loves you. You are blessed and highly favored. And that's not something that you did. That's something that God did. Amen. Isn't that so awesome to understand it's all about what God does, receiving what God does? Oh, it's great when I say, Lord, I love you and I thank you because you did this. But I just love times when I just, shut up and let God love on me. God loves us. Our Father loves us. And I was sharing with someone recently how that God loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Something that we fall short in sometimes. But God loves us unconditionally. He places no conditions. Yes, we got to be born again to spend eternity with Him. But He loves us. We're His children. I'm so glad that God sent Jesus. Aren't you glad God sent Jesus? I mean, that's such an old-time story, such an old-time message, but God sent Jesus. He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Who was He begotten of if He was a begotten Son? Well, in the earth, He was begotten of Mary, but He's just a part of God who always was. He sent His only Son, His only Son, the only one He had. Didn't give up one of 10, but gave up just one. And the Bible said, He came to the earth, and Jesus laid down His life for us. How awesome is that? And you know what the end of the story is, the back of the book story, is we win. No matter how you slice it, we win. So don't stress in life. What we're going to teach on Sunday is how to deal with all of that stress and worry and fear. And it's more than just Bible scriptures. We're going to show you how that the Word of God teaches us how to have divine health and increase working all the time. And so I want to share that with you Sunday. Well, praise the Lord. No thing can stop you in Jesus. How many glad you're in Jesus tonight? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, and right there's a good place to stop and say, I be in Christ. Amen. He said, old things are passed away, all things are become new. We're a brand new creation in Jesus. We're not a creature, are we? Somebody translated that a little bit goofy. We're not a creature, we're a creation, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.